Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
And greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here. Another episode of the Wrestle Horror Podcast. And as always, with me is Donnie Hoover.
Hey, everybody. How's it going today?
And today we've got another special guest. We like to bring in special guests. And this one's not necessarily involved in any one field directly, but he's kind of a jack of all trades, especially with podcasts. And I'm talking about Robin Nelson. Robin, how are you this evening?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, thanks for taking the time to spend with us. I know you stay really busy. As we were just talking about off the air, we were talking about WrestlePop, and then you've got a paranormal podcast. And then what other podcasts do you have?
Those are the only two I have is Wrestle Popcast and the Robin Nelson's Files 13 podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoy doing both of them. It's fun. It keeps me busy, like you said, but I meet a lot of interesting people.
Okay. All right. And what started you in the podcasting world?
Okay, we'll start with Wrestle Popcast. I've been a wrestling fan, you know, since the 80s when wrestling was good. Storylines, kayfabe, you know, the good guys and bad guys always stayed in separate locker rooms. You never seen them leaving, you know, the arena. And then Roddy Piper's the one that got me into wrestling when I was a kid. But how I started getting into podcasting was I started getting into indie wrestling, and indie wrestling's been on fire a lot lately. Okay. And I met this wrestler. His name is Gary Powell, but he goes by Eric the Paranormal Fallen. So I built a friendship with him, and you know, and we're like brothers now. But he's the one. It's like, you're always, you know, talking about wrestling and going to all these, you know, promotions and all that. Why don't you do a podcast? And you know, I didn't know what to suspect. That's like, I don't know how to do a podcast. So I started doing some research on it, and then Gary hooked me up with some of the wrestlers, and then it's been going on ever since. If it wasn't for, you know, Gary, I wouldn't be into podcasting.
Very cool. I did not know that. And I have seen Gary wrestle quite a few times now.
Yeah, he's getting better each time. I mean, the guy's on fire right now in the indies. I mean, he's got a new look, new attitude, new everything. Like you said, you've seen him wrestle a lot, and he's just made his return back to FGW, now part of Darkness Worldwide, led by David Barnabas Spector. Why do you think David Barnabas Spector sucks?
He's just a jerk. I don't like him.
I know, right? You've seen him. He's like a pain in my ass. Him and Amos and Harley Fairfax, they just keep on multiplying, and for some reason they just like to get physical with me. Did you see that video I did with Fallen, man? He picked me up by the throat.
Yeah. Something's got to be done about those guys.
Well, why? How about you, Donnie? Won't you do something about it?
I'm tempted.
I would like to see you get in a match with David Barnabas Spector. It would be great.
Hey, we'll have to keep that in mind.
We'll have to watch out for Shank Dorsey at that point.
Yeah. Oh. Shoot. And I'd be at front row eating popcorn. Just sitting there enjoying it, watching David get beat up. You know, he'll probably end up hearing this, and they'll be like, I'll get you, Robin Nelson. That's all. Here's that little attitude, Robin Nelson. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm saying, Donnie, you better be careful. He may bring the whole darkness to you.
Yeah, that's possible. That's possible. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me knowing him.
Oh, I know. And then Matt Taylor would be like shaking in his boots. That's pretty wild.
So let me ask you this, Robin.
Go ahead.
So I know you do a lot of stuff for FGW. And I know you cover the indies as well.
Yes.
How much of a feather in the cap was it for you when you got Teal Piper?
Oh, my gosh. It was just amazing. I mean, I didn't even suspect I'd get Teal Piper. I mean, I reached out to the publicist to Access TV, Sean Graben, and then he gave me the email to her publicist and agent, you know, and I was like, I would love to interview Teal to see what was it like growing up, you know, with Rowdy Piper, and then finally getting into the wrestling business. And then when they hooked it up, I was like, this is going to be good. And when I had her on, she was the most down-to-earth, most humble young lady you would ever talk to, you know, that got into the family business. She just signed with WOW, you know, World of Women's Wrestling. Yeah. And then she made a little brief stint over at AEW All Out as well.
Very cool. When I saw that pop up, it's like, wow, I wondered what kind of hoops you had to jump through for that one.
I don't know how it happened. I just got lucky. There's sometimes I'll get some great guests. I mean, I've had guys from Ring of Honor everywhere, and I just like interviewing wrestlers in the indies because they always have a story to share. You always hear, you know, like the old school guys or the new guys. It's like, well, what about the other guys out there who are in the indies that don't have their story shared and they're, you know, doing their blood, sweat, and tears in the ring to try to make a name for themselves. You know, that's why another reason why I like doing wrestle podcasts, because I meet some interesting, you know, indie wrestlers, and I like to get their stories shared out there as well.
Well, that sounds like a great reason to do that. I'll have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, and then Teal Piper, another great thing about Teal, when I had her on my podcast, she was talking about, you know, she doesn't want the fans to think she's going to do stuff like her dad. She said, you know, she doesn't want to mooch off her dad's name, you know, doesn't want, you know, want to be in the shadow. She just wants to do her own thing. You know, I mean, she's blessed, you know, her dad was Rowdy and she was like very, very close to him as well. But, you know, she just wants to let everybody know here. At first she didn't want to wrestle at all. I mean, she's coming out with the new album. She's a singer. And then she did some cheesy B budget horror films as well. And then it was hard for her and her brother, Colt, to finish their dad's book when he passed away, Rowdy, his latest book. And then from there, that's what really got her into pro wrestling. At first, she wasn't going to be a pro wrestler.
It's amazing how things can change very quickly.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
So you travel around to a lot of the local conventions, I've noticed. And when I say local, probably within what, a 6-hour drive?
Yeah. I go to all kinds. I'm part of Kentucky Zone Wrestling, which is in Somerset, Kentucky. I do their backstage interviews with them. I'm good friends with Hurricane JJ John McGuire. Him and Jimmy Hart, you know, I've been friends for many years. They're the ones that wrote the songs in the 80s for WWF, you know, from like Million Dollar Man's theme song, Demolition, all those. And everybody thinks it was Johnson. Johnson had everything part of it too, but it was really John McGuire and Jimmy Hart that really started all the whole theme music. So, and then he just came out with a book and he mentioned me in the book, which was kind of cool too. I was surprised.
Nice. Donnie, any questions?
Yeah, and then other conventions I've been to. I mean, I go to different promotions, but I go to like Whorehound in Indianapolis and, you know, Columbus and Cincinnati. Yeah. I go everywhere. I love conventions and everybody's like, well, you're busy. It's like, do you ever work? And I was like, yeah, I work. You know, I just like to keep busy, you know. I'm one of these guys, I can't, you know, sit at home, you know, I always have to do something, you know, enjoy life.
And there's nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, when you stop learning, you're dead. So we keep learning as we go.
Yeah. Look at you guys. You guys seem like you guys got things going on too, man. You guys seem like you're pretty busy too, you know, with horror, the haunted attraction, mm-hmm. and Donnie with New Ohio. I mean, You guys are on fire too, man.
Oh, you know, it's yeah. I can't argue with that. The Big Scary Show has been good to me for 7 years. And then Wrestle Horror is, we're up to episode 14 coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm loving
it. Good for you guys.
Yep, we're getting there.
On Wrestle Podcast, I've interviewed over 304 wrestlers.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of people.
Looks like we got some catching up to do.
Right.
Hey, you guys are doing great, because every time you guys pop up an episode, I always make sure I listen too. I mean, you know, and I have to say something to you too, Donnie. Thanks for all the great stuff you've done for me as well. You know, you've done a lot for me too, and I just want to say thank you about that as well.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate it. And yeah, like I said, I've been a guest on Wrestle Podcast before, during the Arnold last year, before the Arnold come on. And I thank you. I appreciate it. And I like it when you guys come down and hang out with us during our events and stuff. It's always a good time.
Yeah. Oh, you put on some good shows. I really enjoy it. And I'm looking forward to seeing some more of your shows. And I hope it, you know, gets big and goes good for you as well. So I'm looking forward to that.
Step by step, we're trying.
Hey, you're doing good so far. You got a great roster.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course, you know, of course, David Barnabas too, but oh well.
Yeah. That's what I say. We'll have to figure something out about that. I have to make some calls.
Yeah, that's right. You hear that, David?
I keep trying to get Donnie to come down and watch Friday Night Fury, and we'll get him down here sooner or later.
He should. Okay, let's talk about Friday Night Fury. You've been to it. I've seen you there at the shows.
Yes.
Future Great Wrestling in Hamilton is a great organization. I mean, the audience is great because they get into it. There's always great storylines, and there's always a cliffhanger. And Brian Levick, who runs it, and Cody Hawk, they just make it good. It's just so addicting to go to. I'm there every Friday night. You know, it's the best thing they did for Cincinnati. I mean, there's other promotions out there as well in that area, but Future Great Wrestling is where it's at. I mean, they got great talent. They're always having, you know, people from all over coming in to wrestle. You know, like the monster from OVE. You know who I'm talking about.
Madman Fulton.
Yeah, Madman Fulton was a big surprise. And, you know, and Cody Hawk has trained a lot of big names. I mean, he trained Fulton, of course. He trained Sammy Callahan, Eli Drake, John Moxley. I mean, you can name several. I mean, and Cody Hawk still wrestles today, and that guy still has it, man, for a guy his own age.
He moves really well in the ring.
Yeah, I don't knock him at all. I mean, he does. And like I said, Future Great Wrestling's where it's at. And to your listeners who are listening, you guys need to come down to Hamilton, Ohio, to check it out. You guys won't be disappointed.
Oh yeah. Jim's been telling me I need to get down there, and I definitely want to come check it out. Like I say, it's like a 2-hour drive for me, so it ain't too bad, but you know, getting there on a Friday night makes it a little bit of a challenge from leaving work and heading down there, but I'll get there. I'll get down there and hang out.
I'll be surprised if you come. I'll probably be like, oh my gosh, Donnie's here. Really? Am I dreaming?
Yeah, I'm going to make it a point. I'd like to come down and check it out. It looks like a great area, a great building and atmosphere. And I'm always up for watching some good wrestling. I enjoy sitting and watching it just as much as I enjoy running around like a chicken with my head cut off during show days.
Oh, I know. I saw you over at the when I came up to you when you guys were at the state fair. You look like you were out of it. I'd be saying hi to you, and you look like a zombie from a horror film going, hey.
Yeah, and strenuous days.
I know. And your wife, she's a hoot. She cracks me up. She's make me laugh that whole night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's something else. She's got that extra gear. When I'm getting tired and wearing down, she just kicks it in an extra gear and keeps going. She does it sometimes.
Oh man, it's great. I mean, you guys, like I said, New Ohio is where it's at, you know. I consider that one of my favorite promotions in the indies, you know. You're up there with a FGW, of course, and then right behind there's Battle on the Border Pro Wrestling. And, of course, you know, Thomas Williams, another great guy. War Ohio's great, too. And Thomas is a cool dude. He's hooked me up with a lot of great stuff, too, man. I can't say nothing bad about Thomas Williams.
Oh yeah, yeah. We've had him on here numerous times. He's a mainstay on the podcast here.
So is he in the horror?
No, he's not in the horror. We bring him in for more of the promoter stuff. Just to pick his brain. We've had him on what three or four times now. Three or four episodes we got him.
Nice.
And he's gonna come back for more. He said just let him know.
Oh, I know. The funny thing. I had him on my show too. And the funny thing, he reached out to me. I mean, because like many months ago, I would reach and he's like, oh, I don't do that. You can talk to my guys. I don't do that. And then all of a sudden, after I had you on, he hits me up and goes, so you had Donnie Hoover on. And I was like, yeah. He's like, you know something? I want to come on and say some stuff. And I was like, okay, come on, Thomas. Let's hear some great stories.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, he's got a lot of knowledge. Anytime you can get his ear, man, or you can get him, definitely do it.
Yeah, he thinks very highly of you too, man. That's
the feeling's mutual. I appreciate it.
And look at old Big Jim over there. He's just going, huh, what? Can I get this conversation too? I'm trying to think of a question.
You guys are great. Yeah, I'm glad to hear Donnie participate a little more than normal.
Of course he does. Donnie Hoover loves me, man. He loves wrestling podcasts. That's what it is.
Yeah, honestly, I mainly get on here and listen a lot. I'm a big advocate of learning, and so especially when the haunt people come on, because Jim's the haunt expert and I'm the newbie. I'm the green guy, so I always just kind of sit here and shut up and listen. And then when the wrestling part comes on, I'll ask a couple questions here and there. But for the most part, I just, let them go and just listen to what they got to say and just chime in every now and again.
That's cool. And I love how you guys love horror. I mean, horror is great. I mean, there's this one movie I watched. You guys, I don't know if you guys seen it. It's called Terrifier.
Yep.
With Art the Clown.
Art the Clown, yeah.
Yeah.
David H. Howard Horton, who plays Art the Clown, was on my show, and he's a very interesting character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they already started shooting part two, didn't they? And I think they're right.
Yeah, part three. Now. I'm looking forward to part two, and I talked to David at I believe it was Days of the Dead, or was it Whorehound in Indianapolis? I can't remember what show it was, but we got to start talking, build a friendship, and I was like, hey, you want to come on sometime, David? He's like, sure. So I had him on. And the funny thing about David, before he got into horror, he was in stage plays before he got into horror. So he did, all kinds of different stage plays. And how he got the mannerisms for Art the Clown was, he was a big fan of Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin. So if you watch the movie and how he moves his mannerisms, body around, you can see a little bit of Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin in that.
Yeah, now that you mention that, you can. Yep.
Yeah.
I can see that.
And then he had the story when they were off set, they were filming in New Jersey, and he was still in this Art the Clown, makeup and, everything, costume. He was walking around, and he scared these ladies in New Jersey. I mean, they just flipped out, and he forgot he was in his whole, get-up. And then, they were going back shooting, and all of a sudden, the New Jersey police and SWAT team came running in, and they're thinking there was something crazy going on.
Nice. That's funny.
That is funny.
Hey, well, speaking of horror, there's an individual sitting here talking with us now. Mr. Meat Hook Jim was out yesterday shooting a little short horror film, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Nice.
That is correct. It is untitled as of yet. It was filmed as part of a horror film festival that's going to take place sometime at the end of October. It was interesting. Let me just say, I've got a lot of dialogue.
Okay.
It's two pages of dialogue, and it's me and the primary character, but we had other people acting. just no other speaking roles.
Oh, okay.
And it was it's going to be interesting. I can't wait to see the finished product. It was fun. You know, it was my legs were sore because of where we were filming. There was a lot of steep hills, and going down is easy. Coming up, not so much.
Hey, that's pretty good. Can you tell me a little bit about it? What's it about?
It is an origin story of a clown that works for my troupe of traveling haunt actors.
Interesting. Another clown horror film. I'm loving that, man.
Like that segue there?
Hey, why not? There's a lot of clown, you know, horror films out there. Joe Copez, referee I'm good friends with, he always hooks me up with these, like, can I cuss on here?
Yeah, you sure can.
Okay. He makes me watch these most fucked up horror films, and I don't know why I watch them. He's like, here, Rob, check this out. You'll like this one. I'm like, what the hell did I just watch? So he made me watch this one. It was called The Circus of the Dead. Okay. And it's about these, like, clowns working in the small circus, you know, going around, you know, like, going on killing spree, killing people and stuff, and setting up people. So in the story, they were eyeing this family, you know, so they killed this family and blackmailed the husband to go with them on the spree. So they dressed him like a clown. So wherever they went, they were killing everybody. But they were making him like he was the murderer, putting his fingerprints on everything. Right. So they had like this whole police manhunt hunting this guy down, and he didn't even know about it. And the whole movie was just so twisted and fucked up.
Those are usually the better ones.
I know. And then when Big Jim, when your movie gets done and all that, I would love to have you on and share your film as well on my podcast.
Sure. I'd love to. It'll be debuting at the film festival, I think, October 27th, which is a Sunday.
Nice.
And after that, I'll be able to get a copy of it. So,
I'm definitely looking forward to seeing that. That would be pretty good. I mean, I didn't even know that you're doing that. I learned something new. Wow.
It's the first short film I've been in, other than some promo videos for my acting team. But okay. I have been in a full-length movie.
Okay. So what got, okay, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to turn around on you. Okay. So what influenced you to get into like acting and filmmaking? Were you like self-taught, or you just decided one day it's like, I'm going to do this?
Well, it's pretty much self-taught because I started out scaring people as a child.
Okay.
Mainly my mother.
Wow.
I would scare her at every opportunity possible from the age of 4 until I moved out of the house. I've loved Halloween all my life. Here's the funny thing about me now. I've loved Halloween. I love dressing up. I love horror characters. But from the age of 5 to the age of 18, I refused to watch a horror film.
Really?
They scared me too much.
Shut the front door, really?
Really?
Oh my gosh. He must have been sheltered.
It was so bad at the age of 16. Everybody wanted me to go see the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Said, nope, not going. It's got horror in the title.
Hey, that's scary, and then that's not even horror.
Oh, I know. I've seen it way too much.
Some interesting people. It's like, don't you be throwing toast at me.
Yeah.
Okay, since you since you didn't see any, what age were you when you finally said, you know something, I got a man up, I'm going to go find the most scariest, most messed up movie, I'm going to watch it. What was it?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay, that was a classic, good one. So was that the first one you finally just watched before you started watching other horror films?
Yes. I tried a couple of times when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work. I remember one time I was 14 or 15, and it was a low-budget horror film called Screams of a Winter Night.
Okay.
And I went to the theater with a bunch of my friends, and it was an anthology type movie.
Yeah.
I made it for through the first one, couldn't take any more left.
Wow. So were you like pale as a ghost when you left the theater?
Yeah, pretty much.
You didn't pee your pants or anything, or you
No pee in the pants, but it scared me. And you know, I don't know, when I was 18, I guess a trigger in my head flipped and said, you know, you're an adult now, man up.
Yeah.
So ever since then, I started watching films, starting with Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
And today, many years later, I laugh at most horror films.
Yeah, there's some out there you laugh. You know, I'm like you. I've watched so many horror films. I've seen fucked up ones. I've seen cheesy ones. I've seen, you know, exploitation ones. You know, it just seems like horror today is just it's not scary. I mean, they mostly go for to try the fear factor. You know, they try to make the most goriest, gruesome. It's like, okay, I want a horror film where it's psychological and messes with your mind instead of, you know, exploitation and all that. You know, that's why I miss those gothic horror films from the early 70s.
Yes.
All those great stuff. And you know, don't get me wrong, there's some great indie horror out there. It's just not the same as it was when we grew up and we're watching horror.
Oh, I agree. You know, I prefer the psychological scare.
Me too.
Less is more, because when you leave the audience thinking, the theater of the mind comes up with stuff that's way more fucked up than the filmmakers can come up with.
Yep.
You know, and you know, Alfred Hitchcock is a prime example of less is more.
Oh, amen to that. Hitchcock was a master at filmmaking. I mean, he twisted everything. And the cool thing about his movies, he drew you into it where you can't stop watching it. For example, let's talk about a good one. Let's talk about Strangers on the Train.
Sure.
I mean, that was the most psychological film, you know, of all his films he's done. I mean, it's just like, you're like, what's going to happen to these, you know? Right. Is he going to end up doing a murder or not? You know, you just feel through the character. You're like stressing with the character, and it's like, oh my gosh, what the fuck?
Well, and let's go back to probably his most popular horror film, Psycho.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
You know, I've asked people over the years, what movie scared you? And I get quite a few responses that say Psycho.
Yeah, it is. It's a scary movie.
But I asked them, why did it scare you?
And what did they say?
50% of them said, because it was gruesome and gory. I said, but you didn't see any of that.
That's one way. Another thing that also makes it really gross and gruesome as well is the music that Hitchcock played. That made it even more creepier.
Absolutely. Music plays a huge part of a good horror scene. You could have the most gruesome death you could think of, but if you're playing something out of Disney, it destroys the entire illusion.
Oh, Disney has some scary stuff too, so.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But yes, I would put a cycle up there. It was very psychological. And Hitchcock played with your mind, adding the music. And the best thing about it was in black and white. For some reason, horror films seem to are more eerie and freakier in black and white than color. I mean, I can't explain it, but I just love watching horror in black and white.
Speaking of black and white, the movie Short was shot in black and white.
Oh, that is wild. I'm looking forward to seeing that. And look at Donnie. Donnie's over here going, I wonder what question I can think about horror, because we know Donnie loves horror too, you know.
Oh, yeah, I do. I mean, I'm definitely into horror, but I'm kind of more interested to start digging into your paranormal background. You have a paranormal podcast. And
yes.
And I've always been interested. Like, I love going into creepy buildings and
yeah,
stuff like that, but I've never actually been on like a paranormal hunt or a ghost hunt. or anything. So I was just wanting to hear a little bit about that and stuff you've experienced with that.
Oh, yeah. Before I did my paranormal podcast, I mean, I really didn't know anybody in the field. I was just always curious when I was young about the paranormal. I always believed there's something else on the other side. I mean, don't get me wrong. I believe in God, too. You know, a lot of people don't believe in God. But I think there's stuff that's on the other side we can't explain and we're just curious about. I mean, I believe there are spirits here on this earth. They're not here until they, you know, finish their business. All that. My first encounter I ever got into was when I was, I think it was 10 or 11. I grew up in California and we were on a field trip to this St. Padre Parish. And, you know, we were like on a tour. And so it was kind of creepy, but it wasn't, you know, I didn't think it was at the time. I didn't think it was haunted. I wasn't really into it. So I got lost with the group and I went into this like back room, this chapel. And there was this guy dressed like a monk, like an old monk. I thought, you know, it was just like an, you know, actor. So I started talking to him, you know, I was just asking the history about the whole, you know, parish. And then right when I like was getting ready to leave and turn around, I felt this weird feeling and I turned right back around and he was gone. And there was only one way out. There's only one door. So I was like, okay, he's just messing with me. There has to be a secret door. So I was going around filling the walls to see if there was like a, you know, a hidden passage, nothing. And then that scared me. That's what really opened my eyes to get into the, you know, into the paranormal. And I've read a lot of books on, you know, parapsychology, paranormal. I read a little bit about demonology. At one time I wanted to be a demonologist, but you know, I don't got the balls for it, but I thought about doing it. This is a true story. I thought about doing it. I read a little bit about that as well and just started reading books and then, you know, started, you know, checking out places and I was like, okay, and I'm going to do a podcast about this. So I'm going to see if I can reach out to people in the paranormal field from, you know, psychics to paranormal psychologists or people who, you know, have had experiences, you know, it's like, you know, something I'm going to go on here and do a podcast and see if I can reach out to a bunch of people. And, you know, I thought it was going to be hard, but actually people in the paranormal field would be gladly come on and explain their encounters and stories. I mean, you can get anybody in the paranormal field. One guest I got, which really surprised me was her name is Andrea Perrin. She was the oldest daughter of the kids in the family that lived in the original Conjuring house, which was based off the movie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And she got, when I interviewed her, it got so deep. She was having a hard time talking about it. I mean, it felt like she was going to get ready to cry. And she said the movie that James Wan did is not really accurate. She says that's garbage. That's not how it happened. So she wrote like 3 books. And she's trying to get a legit movie about it as well, you know. And through all the years, you know, that house always drew her back. And, you know, and the original owners, you know, had it and stuff. And they kind of had a little falling out, wouldn't let her go near it and stuff. But, you know, and then after her whole family moved, the youngest sister stayed there and lived there for years too. But for some reason, Andrea kept on getting, like, dragged back to it. I think that one was one of my great guests. And then I had another guy, he lives in LA. His house is haunted. He lives in the corner of cul-de-sac where Sharon Tate used to live, where she was murdered.
Okay.
And he says he's seen Sharon Tate's ghost and his house is haunted. It's like on a paranormal magnetic like field where all the ghosts comes out. And he's had all big name parapsychologists investigating this house. And he had some pretty freaky stories too. I mean, I can just go on and on. And I've talked to ufologists. I've talked to people in cryptology. I mean, I've heard it all, man. You can also tell if someone's really legit or bullshit. I mean, there's some I've talked to, I know they were full of shit. So.
Did you call them out on it or you just let them go?
I have a couple times like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just a podcaster. You're not really an investigator, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I go, dude, you're full of shit. And I'm not going to mention names. I had a few guests right. Like that I called out, but yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, Don, you guys should get some paranormal people on your show, you know. I'll tell you a good person you should get. Her name is Miranda Young. She's a paranormal investigator, and she has a show online that's called Ghost Biker Explorations. And, you know, she rides her motorcycle, and you know, she has her, you know, camera and technician guy, and they go down on the roads to haunted locations, investigate them. She'd be a great guest for you.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I've never been on any kind of ghost hunts or nothing. Like I said, I think it'd be a blast. Maybe I could be another podcast. We all join forces and start another podcast of all of us big sissies going to big haunted places.
And see if we can pick up something, too. Yeah. And another thing is, if you really are unsure of yourself, like investing it by yourself, you can always reach out to, you know, like your nearest paranormal, you know, investigators in your area. And you can, like, go with them and, you know, learn from them as well. I've done that a couple times to see, you know. But if you go by yourself, you got to be, like, real serious about it. You got to be really careful where you go in. You got to, you know, let whatever's in there. It's like, hey, I'm in here. I'm not trying to intrude. I just want to get some answers and all that. You just got to be respectful. You can't go around like most people, like, oh, I'm going to, you know, mess and taunt. I mean, you can get hurt on investigations. I mean, through the mind, everything, you know, you just got to go in there, do your research. You got to be prepared. You got to be respectful for whatever place you go into. And also when you leave, always, you know, make sure it's like, hey, you guys can't come with me. You got to make them, you know, like, no, you know, and most of the time they'll like really respect. I mean, so far I've never had anything follow me home. At all, but I did it one. I did once, but it was with me for like 3 days. I was coming home from I was coming home from Scarefest actually, so we stopped in Kentucky to this place. It's called Joe House Pizza, and the pizza place is built in. It used to be a old hanging prison back in the 1800s.
Okay.
So they built half the building to it, but you can go and explore, and also you can eat inside the jail cells. They have tables and everything, and you can explore. So we went in there and ate, and we got to look around, and I kept on getting this uneasy feeling, you know, but I really didn't pay, you know, enough attention of it. It's been investigated by investigators as well. You know, we were having fun. It seemed fun. And then when we were driving home back to Cincinnati, I started feeling like very hot and uneasy. It wasn't like food poisoning or anything. I just felt sick. And my friend Howard's like, are you all right, Rob? I was like, I just feel sick. Can we just pull over for a minute? And I was like burning up and I couldn't explain it, you know, and it wasn't like one of those food sick or, you know, flu sickness or anything. I just felt burning hot in my body, and it's like, you know, it's like, okay, we can do this. And it lasted for like, you know, 3 days. And I'm luckily it wasn't one of those attachments that wanted to stick with me forever. It didn't last that long. So whatever was latched onto me, probably wanted my attention or something, or, you know, I couldn't explain it, but yeah, I had an attachment once, but it wasn't like malevolent or demonic or anything like that at all. I just think it was just a ghost that was trying to get my attention, you know, but it didn't stay that long. So ever since then, I really haven't had any, you know, like weird stuff or hauntings at my house or anything like that. But, you know, but yeah.
Do you wear anything silver?
No, I don't. Before I go in, I always pray to God, you know. And I go in there with like an open mind. And there's like a special prayer you can do. I learned from some of the paranormal investigators, when you leave, you always say that prayer, which, you know, will, you know, prevent anything from following you. No, I don't go in wearing anything protective. I just go in there, you know, just prepared, do my research, you know, and just make sure, you know, I don't, you know, get hurt or bring anything back. In every haunted location, you should be really respectful about it, if it's good or bad. I mean, luckily I haven't, you know, bumped into any like demonic or any, you know, like crazy stuff yet. It's just been mostly like good. It's just been good. I mean, I've picked up stuff on my tape recorder, like weird voices and stuff like that. Nothing like demonic or anything. How some people, it's like, oh yeah, I picked up something demonic. I haven't really picked anything demonic yet. So I don't do it all the time. I do it once in a while, but you know, I try to, you know, go with other people. It's good to go with a group of people so you can, you know, protect each other. And I'll tell this to everybody out there who's listening. Don't do it by yourself, because it can get dangerous. You guys may be, they can probably be, their audience probably laughing. Oh, I can have, trust me, man. You got to be well prepared. You got to do some research. And always, before you start, always talk to somebody in the paranormal field first. Follow them. Learn something from them before you decide to venture out on your own. But I advise, don't do it by yourself. You should always have somebody with you.
I agree 100%. The reason I asked about the silver is because it helps keep things from attaching themselves to you.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I've really, all the stuff I've been to, I've really never worn anything. I mean, I've did some prayers and going there with, you know, positive thoughts and positive energy, you know. Because if you go in there like with not being positive, or because most spirits can sense like the negativity environment around you, you don't want that because it makes them stronger. You know, I mean, there's some places I've been to where I was freaked out, but I wouldn't, you know, I try to stay away from everything negative. You know, I don't want nothing negative around me, man.
Heard that.
I was asking because I myself have been a paranormal investigator off and on for about 18 years. And I've got all the equipment minus the thermal imaging camera.
I don't have one of those. I do it old school way.
I got a couple of EMF meters and I've got I got a couple of cameras that shoot night shot, and I've got one that does ultraviolet.
Do you have a ghost box?
I do not have a ghost box.
I have one of those. Those are really good.
I've got some dowsing rods.
Okay.
But it's a nice little kit. I've got infrared thermometers.
I would love to go on an investigation with you. I would love that would be fun. I would love to learn some of that stuff. I just done it all old school way. I mean, everybody does stuff and everybody looks at me because I do it like old school. You know, I do it all old school. I mean, you can still pick up stuff doing the old school way without all the technology, but it's good. Yeah. What, you know, Big John said, you should have all that great stuff. And for some reason, a lot of people like to investigate at night. I like to investigate in the daytime because, like I said, the paranormal don't sleep. You can get some good evidence during the daytime as well, but for some reason, everybody likes to do it at night.
Have you ever been to Waverly Hills Sanatorium?
No, that's on my bucket list. I've been really dying to go there.
Three times.
Did you pick up anything?
I didn't get a whole lot on my EMF because I carry a Zoom H2 recorder.
Yeah, I know what that is. Okay.
But I will tell you that I've seen things.
What have you seen that really got you not like scared, just got you like you're saying, what the fuck?
Well, that would definitely be on the fourth floor.
I'm picturing you in there. So when you went up to the fourth floor, you're, you know, doing your investigation, trying to get something. What got you to that what the fuck moment when you were up there?
Well, in all the cases where I've gone up there, it's been part of a larger group.
Okay.
There's two ways to do Waverly. You can do the $25 tour with a group of 25 people that lasts a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you get enough people together, enough money together, you can do the overnights, the 4 and 8 hour overnights during the week.
Yeah, I've heard about those. Yeah.
Eventually, I'm going to do the overnight.
Let me know when you do that. I would love to be part of that.
Okay. I will do that. So on this tour, what they do is the last place they take you is to the fourth floor. The fourth floor is famous for being home to the shadow people.
Yeah, I've heard stories about that. I've had people that I know that went there that have seen it or think they saw it in their corner of their eye.
Well, in one instance, what they do is when they have the group, you come through the doorway and the wings... Uh-huh. The wings go left and right.
Okay.
And then they angle in a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. So what they will do is they'll take whatever side you're on, they'll take one person
okay.
and send them so far down the corridor.
Okay.
Hold their arms out. And you will start to see body parts disappear.
That's wild.
Because it's completely devoid of light.
Oh, no kidding.
There is no electricity on that floor.
Wow.
And one time I got to go be the person. And I'm walking down. I got down to the point to where it angled again.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked down that hallway and saw a large black shadow running towards me.
What did you do? Were you, I mean, I know you
shitted
were
probably, pants.
I mean, you shitted your pants. I know that anybody would shit their pants in that, but I'm just saying when you saw this like shadow, like running towards you, were you kind of curious and scared at the same time where you wanted to run towards it, you know, just out of curiosity to see what happens, or you were just so scared. You're like, I don't know what the fuck to do. Should I run or should I just go towards it and see what happens?
Well, honestly, you know, it was the former. I was torn between which way I wanted to run, and mainly because I've always considered myself a hopeful skeptic.
Okay, so you're saying you're one of those skeptics that you want proof. So you believe into the science part of it as well, to figure out if it's really legit or not, or it's just not real. Okay.
Correct.
I'm talking to people who think the same way as you. Yeah.
And in this case, it was in the end, I decided to return to the group and the safety of the group because I did not know if it was malevolent or not. And I didn't want to find out.
Yeah, that's true too. But you know, be honest, you did have a little curiosity that you wanted to get a little closer to it a little bit though.
I did.
Mm-hmm. And then another question too, at the Waverly as well. I've also heard a story from another person that went there, and their friend said they saw them, but it wasn't them. They saw a doppelganger of their friend. He was doing he was like in one of the rooms, and you know, he saw his friend, but his friend wasn't even near that whole area. It looked just like him.
I believe it was probably just a spirit having some fun.
Yeah, I think so too. Wouldn't that be freaky though? Say you and I went on the investigation, Big John, and you're like, okay, I'm going to go on this side. You go on this side, you know, and all of a sudden you think you see me coming down the stairs or something. And you're like, and I'm tapping you and you're like, hey, weren't you just up there? It's like, no, it was back there. Okay. Since you've been like investigating like for 18 years, like you said, what got you into it? Did you have like an encounter like I did? Or were you just more curious if there was, you know, life after death?
Boy, who's interviewing who here? And I'm not gonna, don't get me wrong, Robin. I'm having a blast. Don't get me wrong.
I'm sorry.
No, no. Really, no, you're fine.
I podcast so much. It's weird because when I hang out with my friends, they're like, are you asking me like we're on your show, or you just ask us like, I'm sorry, I'm bad. I'm just so used to interviewing people.
Okay. Well, I have an answer for you that explains my hopeful skepticism.
Okay.
Now, back in, I think it was 1999, maybe 2000.
Okay.
I lived in Florida, and one of my favorite places to go was St. Augustine.
Okay.
Very famous old city, very famous haunted city.
Okay.
Now, I was always a skeptic growing up.
Okay.
You know, I don't believe in ghosts. And I actually went on this ghost tour with my then wife, now ex-wife. Okay. I went on this ghost tour with her, and I had one of the old Sony Mavica cameras with the floppy disk drive that you...
Oh, yeah, old print. School. I've seen those. Yeah, okay.
So we were taking the ghost tour, and we stopped at a place that was a bed and breakfast, but turns out it used to be a funeral parlor back in the early 1900s.
Okay.
So the host was telling us about this particular building, and I'm snapping pictures. Well, I take a look at a picture that I snapped because it had that big screen on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this huge white orb.
Okay.
And in the second picture I snapped right after that, it was gone.
Wow. I wouldn't even know what to think of that. But when you had those pictures taken, did you try to debunk it to make sure it wasn't like a dust particle or anything? Or
that, as soon as I got home and put to get it on my computer, that's the first thing I did.
Okay.
And when I did that, I inverted the colors.
Mm-hmm.
I went through the whole, you know, all the things you can do with Photoshop or whatever program I was using at the time.
Okay.
And I noticed something. As I was working with this, I started to see the shape of shoulders and a head above that glowing ball.
Wow.
And it wasn't your typical orb. It was large and very bright.
So you can see it pretty clearly, like you said, the shoulders and everything then.
Yeah, the shoulders and the head you have to look at.
Yeah, okay.
For a second. And I even thought maybe it was artifacting, but it wasn't. I checked that too. I took it the next time I went to St. Augustine. I took it to a couple of people that live up there.
Uh-huh.
And one guy I talked to who drove one of the trolleys but did the investigations at night.
Okay.
He looked at it. He says, that's a soldier. He says, that's a colonial soldier.
Oh, wow.
So he says, and I told him, I said, I'm trying to debunk this picture. He says, you can't. I said, I've tried everything possible, and I can't find an answer for why this is here.
He says, wow.
He says, that's because it's a colonial soldier. He was laughing at me.
He probably was. You probably were wearing something funny going, what's this weird garb this guy's wearing?
Right. So at that point, I started to think, okay, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there is something on the other side.
Hey. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And speaking of FGW, you know the building where they have FGW at, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you know that place is haunted?
Really?
Cody caught some stuff on his camera, the security camera, and he got that looked at. And it wasn't dust or anything. It was like orbs.
Right.
And some of the wrestlers that they're training would be hearing like kids' voices and stuff. I've even heard stuff before too. David was doing some photography, you know, for him and for FGW, and we were the last ones there, and we were in the back, and I heard growling. You know, I was like, okay, it must be someone's in there with their dog. So curious me, stupid me, I was looking around and I didn't see nothing. And then I talked to some of the, you know, wrestlers, and they've said they've heard stuff or seem like somebody's like staring at them and stuff. And then there was a couple times that happened to me there when I was filming. I filmed some of their matches for them, and I saw like this like smoke, like this like see-through like smoke. Like I was like, okay, who's smoking in here right by me? You can't be smoking. I looked around. Nobody was smoking. It was just like smoke. And then another time when I was filming, I had it felt like somebody was yanking my pant leg.
I definitely have to go to FGW show now.
Well, next time you should, Donnie. But next time, Big John, when you go, just see if you can notice anything. I mean, you know, everybody said they seem like heard different stuff. Maybe you can pick up something. I've had my pant leg yanked at, and I can't explain it. And I'm sitting there by myself, you know, in the back audience, you know, in the back seat, you know, filming and stuff. Nobody's like around me yanking my leg, my pant leg.
You know, I've got so many stories I could tell. Let's save them for your paranormal podcast.
Okay, I'm definitely going to have you on there. That will be a great one, man. Everybody will be like, what the fuck are these guys talking about? Oh, this is pretty good. I'm enjoying myself. You guys... You guys are fun, man.
Oh, yeah, it's been a good one.
I know, it's like, oh, my gosh, he's the guest. Why are we taking turns interviewing each other? Who shows this?
I knew that was going to happen. That's why I wasn't even worried about it.
People are getting a kick out of it.
Oh, they're probably listening or going to listen going, this is interesting. Who's the interviewee and who's the guest?
Donnie, go ahead. I was just going to say, Donnie, did you have anything to add? I mean, you've been absorbing a lot of this.
No, yeah. I just, like I said, I've never been on a ghost hunt or a paranormal hunt or anything, so I'd definitely like to go. If you guys want to get something together and go, I'm all for it.
I think all three of us should go because, yeah, Donnie has equipment and, you know, I can do some old school stuff too. We would have fun. I want to see how you would take it in an environment where you're not comfortable around in, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd be nervous. I ain't even going to lie. I mean, I'd be having a blast at it, but I'd be nervous.
So do you think you'd be running and hugging Jim and be like,
oh, yeah, hell yeah, I'd be, yeah.
Can you be my bodyguard, you know? Can you be Kevin
I'll be your
Costner
bodyguard until we see something. As soon as I see something, you're on your own.
Well, yeah, like I said, you just got to go in with this positive mind and, you know, just go in there and just be respectful and everything will turn out fine. I think all three of us should do one. You would like it. You know, you can learn a lot too. I mean,
yeah.
Oh yeah. So. Yeah. I know when we did the Ohio Halloween and Haunters convention there at the prison, when I'd get some free time, I'd kind of wander off in some corridors by myself and stuff like that. And I always thought that was like exciting. It gets your heart racing, you know, you don't just cause you don't know, even if nothing ever even happens, you know, you're in this creepy place by yourself. And I was just like, man, this is cool as crap. It's
like, I'll tell you something. I can see John doing this. If we were like in a haunted location, it was real freaky, I'd probably end up being like the bait. John's like, dude, just go down there for a minute. I got your back. Just go down there and see what happens. Go sit in that one room that's supposedly haunted. Go just sit there. Just sit there and see if you get something. If you need anything, we'll come running.
I'm just trying to figure out who John is.
Oh, that's just an imaginary friend that will be come with us. Oh, okay. I'm just busting your tail, adding John. You know, some John is listening right now. No, he's listening. He's with us right now.
You know what else is funny, Robin, is I actually live across the street from a cemetery.
Do you really?
I do.
Have you picked – so the cemetery you live across from, have you actually ever picked up anything?
Very little.
Okay.
Very little. I mean, in a lot of cases, that's where the spirits go to rest.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, but some of them don't want to rest. They just want to just start havoc with you and stuff, you know. Who knows? Maybe there's like people out there, you know, the crazy – there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens in cemeteries as well, you know. Yeah. You know, you get these, like, people doing weird rituals and shit out there.
I've seen them. I watched them film a movie out here once.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I forget the name of it, but it was there's a public vault in the middle of the cemetery, and they were using that for a place for their vampires to sleep.
Oh, wow. I got a good question for you, too.
What?
Is – do you think some people, when they sleep, you know, go into like different, like parallel type of dimensions where you're in it and all the people around you never seen before, but they know you. And then it seems like, you know, you're in there, but when you wake up the next morning, you feel like you're drained and never got any sleep.
That's an interesting theory. I'm not quite sure about that. It sounds conceivable.
Mm-hmm.
But me being the skeptic that I am, I have to do it too. And maybe I am.
Hey, I'm just putting that out there for you, brother.
Okay. Some food for thought.
Yeah, you'll be thinking that when you get off the show. You'll be like, I'm going to look into that. Huh, I wonder if this is really legit or not, you know? Like that theory, there's a theory I heard too. It's like I've heard stories, like, for some reason, every time there's like supposed to be a Bigfoot, there's always like a UFO right after that. For some reason, it seems like Bigfoot and UFOs are connected.
I have seen a Bigfoot.
Really? Where did you see this Sasquatch at?
It was a skunk ape down in Florida.
Oh, no shit.
I nobody believes me, but me and my cousin saw it.
Oh, you know something? I've never seen one, but I do believe in it. I think there are other creatures that God has made that's out there that man really hasn't experienced, you know, to be able to see. I've also heard stories where the Air Force has a certain chapter in their manual about how to deal with a Bigfoot too. No lie. You know, I don't know if the story's far-fetched or not, but for some reason it seems like, you know, the military has really dealt with Sasquatch.
Well, the one I saw, I mean, I wasn't that close to it, obviously, but mm-hmm. I was probably, I don't know, less than 100 yards.
Uh-huh. Did it see you?
I don't think it saw us because we were in a heavily wooded area. My cousin and I were camping on his family's property, and it came out into a clearing where the roadway was. And, you know, it's a double-lane highway, so a normal person would take, what, 5-6 steps to get across it?
Yeah.
Whatever this was, which stood upright and stunk all to high heaven because the wind was blowing our way, took 2 steps to cover that roadway.
Oh, my gosh. That must have been massive. I had a UFO, not UFO, a Bigfoot researcher on my show named Daniel Benoit. He lives out by West Virginia, and they have, like, real heavily into Sasquatch area. And he's gotten tons of evidence on certain areas where they roam around from different seasons and stuff. And he said he's encountered several of them. He said he encountered one where one, like, threw, like, threw rocks at them to let them know it's like, hey, you're in my area, leave. You know, this is like a warning. He says he's had Sasquatch throw stuff at them to let them know their presence was there.
I believe it.
Yeah,
I absolutely do.
And he's been studying it for years and stuff, the patterns, the behavioral, the way of their language, how they talk. Yeah, I learned a lot from him. I mean, that's another guy you should reach out to, Daniel Benoit.
I'm writing that down.
he's on Facebook, Daniel Benoit. It's Benoit. Mm-hmm. He's a Bigfoot researcher. He has tons of stories.
Oh, wow. I need to talk to this guy.
You would have a blast. He can tell you some stuff that freak you out, too. Look at you. You're just shaking your head. You're like, okay.
No, I'm just, I lost my train of thought, to be honest.
You got him thinking about Sasquatch. Now he can't think.
Oh, I know. I like this show. We go from paranormal, Sasquatch, horror, wrestling, and then – and then right behind Jim, he has a Darth Vader helmet.
that's the Black Series helmet. And if you look,
that is pretty awesome.
If you look right next to it is the lightsaber.
Yeah, I saw that. I like it. I was admiring that. I love that. A Star Wars fan. I got a question for you, since you're an old school Star Wars fan like me.
Yep.
Do you think the last Star Wars film they did? Do you think Disney did that on purpose and told us old school Star Wars fans to fuck off? We're going to do it their way?
I have to say probably, but I'm going to see how it plays out with Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it to see what happens too, because I didn't like Last Jedi at all. That was horrible.
No, I enjoyed it for the most part. It wasn't the best Star Wars film out there. I think the best Star Wars film out there is still Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, Empire's my favorite because it was good and dark. I like it because it was more darker of the original trilogy. I totally agree with you that as well. And then I also enjoyed Rogue One. I thought Rogue One was the shit too.
Yes, absolutely. The Force Awakens was really just a rehashing of A New Hope.
Yes, it was. And, you know, I've been telling that to people and they're like, you don't know nothing. I was like, dude. When the original Star Wars came out, I was like 5 years old. I remember my mom and dad taking me to go see the first Star Wars. And I said the same thing. People look at me, it's like, it's not rehash. And I go, yeah, it is. It's rehash. Yeah. And then when you watch your Star Wars films, do you like watch them like a certain way, you know, like different chronology-wise? like, you know, for example, a different way where, like, if someone who's not a fan, you tell them to watch it a certain way and they can fully understand that?
Well, I try to steer them away from the prequel trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
But if they want to watch them, I suggest they watch them 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, that's how I do it. That's the best way to do it.
But I have watched them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, I have too. And you can like mix them around, you know, you can do like, Star Wars, and you can do like Empire, and then you can go to like episode 3 and then go to Return of the Jedi like that too.
Right.
It's just neat because you can just do multiple ways.
Oh yeah. Been a big Star Wars fan. I was there on opening day, May 29th, 1977 with my dad.
Yeah.
I was 12 years old,
uh-huh.
And I found out after the fact that my wife, who's 3 years younger than me, so she was 9, was in line with her dad at the same theater the same day.
That is wild, man. That's a cool story. I remember I was like 5 at the time, and we were living in North Dakota where my dad was from, and we were in the small town waiting in line in the small little dinky theater. So, yeah, that's cool how your wife was. Dude, that's just awesome to look at you guys. You guys finally met, and your lightsabers intertwined with each other.
That took a long time. She and I went our separate ways after we dated in my early 20s.
Okay.
We both married twice, didn't work out. She tracked me down on Facebook, and we got married on Halloween of last year.
Oh, that's awesome, being married on Halloween. That is badass, man. So, hey, you can't piss off the missus because you guys know your anniversary. It's Halloween, so you can't make them excuse.
That's right.
I thought our anniversary was on Thanksgiving. Look at you. You're loving this episode, man.
I am. And then, you know, we went down to Disney for our honeymoon. And
that's awesome.
And first ride was the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, wow. Did you have fun? I always liked the Haunted Mansion. I always think it's fun. I mean, when I grew up in California, I always went to Disneyland and always went to that. I've never been to Disney World, but I've been to Disneyland 100 times. But the Haunted Mansion is great. They just had their anniversary of the Haunted Mansion. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cool stuff that Disney's putting out, from pop vinyl to everything. It's just pretty neat.
It is. I grew up in Florida. Mm-hmm. And in my career with my day job, at one point in time, I lived literally 20 minutes from Disney World.
Oh, I bet you had a field day. So did you go on your lunch breaks?
No, I didn't go on my lunch breaks because my office was a little further away than that.
Okay.
But I bought a year pass for me and my then wife.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes, you know, I used to get off at 4:00. I'd tell her, meet me at Epcot for dinner.
That is cool, man. Gosh, I wish I could find me a nice little geeky woman like that, you know? that likes wrestling as well and horror mix. It's like, hey, let's have a wrestling horror match.
right now she is sitting downstairs watching TV while we're talking. So
okay, cool. I bet she's getting ready to probably watch The Fear of the Walking Dead.
That wouldn't surprise me.
And this ends part one. Next week we will follow up with part two. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on our YouTube channel, The Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.WrestleHorror.com.